Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 208 of the Bad Motivators. I am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Like a pornographic dream, NC-17 with ladies in a stream of margarine. Ha ha ha. Yeah, some margarine.
That's Fly the Conchords.
Abe, hey, good gold star, sir. Gold star, sir.
They call me the hippopotamus.
The hippopotamus. Flows like glow like phosphorus.
Nice.
Popping off the top like this esophagus.
Rocketus metropolis. I'm not a large water-drilling mammal. Would you get that preposterous hypothesis?
There you go.
Steve tell you that for chance.
See? There you go. Good stuff.
Steve.
Mixing up cracker wrap this week. A couple crackers from their wrap.
Yeah, but, well, no, they're not quite crackers. Anyways,
they're kiwis. They're kiwis.
So yeah. Here we are. We've got basically nothing going on in Star Wars world, right?
Shocker.
But, you know, that's to be expected. We're in a unique spot right now. And it's a good spot to be in because it means we're just waiting for a whole bunch of content to come pouring down. We should have Bad Batch sometime. I've heard May. I don't know that there's an exact thing on that. But, I'm looking forward to that. Not in the same way looking forward to every other thing that's coming. But I'm still looking forward to it nonetheless. But, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have to just mix it up right now because we never do this. And I'm going to do it right now. Consider, if you dig the show, man, you can follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And we're all on Twitter. I'm @EricStrothers. And Luke, you are?
@LukeCruiser.
And Dallas, you are?
@TarkinTangents.
Yeah, man. And we're, partying it up over there, having a big old time. Cruiser and I both stream on Twitch. You can find the links to that in the show notes if you want to see some poorly executed video gaming. That's the spot to go. But
you can find me on TikTok now, @TarkinTangents on TikTok.
Oh. Excellent. Then there's some
stuff coming out.
The other thing is Patreon, man. We have a Patreon, and we've got some of the best supporters in the world. And we do a lot of cool bonus shows over there. So if that's something you might be interested in, go check it out at patreon.com/thebadmotivators. And I'm getting ready to put a thing up on Patreon looking for Patreon members to posse up with me, play a little Red Dead Online.
Ooh.
So if you're on Xbox and you're a patron and you want to play Red Dead Online with me and some other people, hit me up with your gamer tag and we'll figure out a time and we'll make it happen. And it'll be the raddest of the rad. And I think if you don't have Red Dead Online, it's available on standalone for up until the 15th for $5. After which time it jumps up to 20. But anyhow, I went ahead and bought it the PC version just in case I ever decide to play it on PC. But
or if you're not about that cowboy life and you just like murdering people, you can hit me up and we'll play some Call of Duty Warzone, maybe some Halo, whatever you want to do.
But you can be cool and play Red Dead Online with me. So.
Or you can be like 8 patrons this weekend and hang out on Skype with me every once in a while. That was a great time, by the way. You guys missed out.
Yeah, I couldn't make it. I'm sorry.
I know. It was a weird day with the Super Bowl and everything, so I didn't expect a big group. But I've met some cool people that listen to the show that don't interact with us on Twitter on those things. So I think we'll do one the end of the month here, and we'll make an announcement closer towards the end because I had some people say, hey, it's Super Bowl. Let's do that again. I missed out. So thanks for reaching out by that.
It was the Super Bowl?
Yeah, this is the way I felt about it too. Huh. I literally watched no commercials either.
Yeah. Well, I just wasn't too, whatevs, man.
It was.
Here's something weird. I actually played guitar this weekend at church. I hadn't been playing the guitar for work in the last month or so because I've been trying to work with the tech teams and stuff.
Oh.
And I had my guitar
work on that dude that took your place?
What's that?
Did that curse that I did on that dude that took your place work?
No, man. I was glad to have some time off the deck, but it was weird. I hadn't played my guitar rig, hadn't been turned on in 4.5 weeks, and I'm like, wow. How do you work this thing? It was all right. It was just okay, man. I do love playing the guitar and I do love music still. But sometimes it gets to be a chore, just like any other thing. You can have the best job in the world, but some days it's a job. But anyway, how's everybody doing, man? Anything exciting happening with you guys?
Not especially. I mean, I watched the Super Bowl, partially. It was a disaster. It was like, I forget what the final score was, but it was, not winnable by the Chiefs, which I don't know why, but my wife asked me, on Sunday if the Chiefs were from Kansas or Missouri. And I was like, I think it's Missouri. I had to do a double check. Well, yeah, it was Missouri. I can't believe it. At one point, the Struthers area had two NFL teams.
Yep. Yeah.
In Missouri, of all places.
Kansas City's weird, man, because Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri touch each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like dirty, dirty cousins. Right across the river. It's like that cousin you have. Just touching
tips to see if it feels good.
And listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got a cousin like that who she's really hot. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't think she's hot, no. But I do.
Should I get my banjo out?
But, you know, that's what the two Kansas Cities are doing. And, yeah, that's just an awkward, awkward choice. But, yeah, they have a sports team.
I just love Flirting with Incest with Eric Struthers.
Yeah. Welcome to Flirting with Incest Hour with Eric Struthers.
Oh, come on.
I kid. Kind of.
But you know what was funny about the Super Bowl real quick? You know, I started seeing this like GIF this morning after the Super Bowl, and I'm like, who's this African-American dude running through these mirrors and shit? Because I didn't see it. Well, it turns out it's Weekend. Also, nobody told me guy got a major facelift. I didn't even fucking recognize his ass.
No,
he got a mate. Look it up, bro. He got a major facelift.
I wonder if you're looking into he had this whole theme going on for his album he had, where like he got all beat up in the face, and then like he wore these bandages to like award ceremonies and stuff. And then his most recent video, his face is all like, his cheekbones are like really
all sharp and shit. I was like, why did he do that to himself? He did not do that. That was freaking me out, man. I don't know about these hip hop dudes. Like if it's not rap, I'm not, you know, if it's not Travis Scott or rap, I don't know.
I really like The Weeknd. Which is surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not usually into pop music, but like I really enjoy him. And my son really likes listening to him. I have to very like limit the songs he can listen to because some of them are like really like really vulgar. I'm like, no, I can't go there. But
oh man, my 15-year-old listening to Tupac and Ice Cube in the shower, and his mom's in the other room. I'm like, you know, she can hear what you're listening to, bro.
But it's I thought the performance of that was the show was good. But like, I think a lot of times those Super Bowl shows, I mean, it's a big, huge live show. Sometimes there's audio issues that happen like from their mics going from place to place where they're always moving around everywhere. But like the very beginning of the show, like you could barely hear what he was saying. You could barely hear him singing at all. And then like he went somewhere else and all of a sudden it picked it back up again. Like, I don't know if like the sound engineer's like, oh, well, we fixed it. There it is. Or he got a hold of a different mic because he was disappearing in and out all the time. So he could have grabbed another mic for all we know. But like, it's it was interesting. I'd never seen a show like it. The way, like just the way the, like all the structures that he had built for the show.
The mirrors thing. Yeah, that was weird, man. Yeah. Like I was watching that GIF. I'm like, wait, that was the halftime show? Like they built this whole thing? That's nuts.
I mean, that's just for, he was just in there for like a minute, but like my wife couldn't watch that part because he started spinning around in circles and like holding the camera around in circles and like, she's like, it's making me want to throw up. I can't watch it. Oof. And, no, I still got to say though, the best I've ever seen, my favorite halftime show is still Prince.
Hands down, bro. He killed it.
Oh my God.
And then Lady Gaga is like the one beef.
Oh yeah, dude.
Dude, when he sang that, when he sang the Foo Fighters song, like way better than the Foo Fighters ever could, I was just like, oh my God, there he goes again, dude, Prince.
What's funny about Prince is his whole career, he did exactly what he wanted to do. If he had just done like, had people write songs for him, make, he would have made way more money, but it wouldn't have been as genuine. Like, he's a genuine artist when you listen to him.
I don't know, dude. I think he made a good chunk of change.
He did, but you know what I mean? Like, he always played to his, like, he never was, like, following the trend at the time when his album.
But he also wrote a bunch of songs for other people.
True.
I mean.
True. He was definitely, you know, the proprietor of money on that end, you know, writing music for people.
He was just a musical force. There's no other way to describe Prince, you know, like, everybody knows about the guitar solo he did for My Guitar Gently Weeps, you know, and that live performance with all those people. He just went there and said, nope, this is my show now. He just melted everybody. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize how amazing of a guitar player he was.
He played drums and bass, and he had the full spectrum of talent when it came to instruments, man.
Oh yeah, dude, the guy was he killed it on all of them. And the thing with Prince, though, man, as good as a musician as he was, this is something, as I've grown older, I am more and more impressed by songwriting than anything.
Yeah.
That's why you love Taylor Swift, let's be
honest.
Dude,
I mean, don't get me wrong.
She's a songwriter.
She really is a good vocalist. How much her vocal ability has grown. She's plainly done a lot of training. Mm-hmm. But she's a great performer. But dude, her songwriting is streets ahead. It really is. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that is an incredibly enviable talent to have. It's just like anything else. You can practice and get better at it, but it's something that you have to have a gift for. That's why there are some songwriters who are just like hit makers, like Desmond Child. Yeah, if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, he was writing songs for when Bon Jovi hit it huge.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah,
he wrote some of the songs on Slippery When Wet and all these other things, and that's when you know that songwriting is a mystical art.
Yeah.
Too, but yes, that's one of the things that made Prince so amazing. It's just his songwriting.
Speaking of songwriting, you guys slap me for cracker rap, but Ice Cube has written so many lyrics for other rappers. It's ridiculous. Like, Dr. Dre owes his whole rap career to Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg. Like, they wrote all his fucking lyrics.
I mean, Dr. Dre owns a lot to the whole NWA crew. I mean, you know what
I mean? But at the same time, the sound they owe to him, you know, he wrote all that beats. And, I mean, dude, it's the dude work. You're just like,
they all
so
kind
it's
of
like,
made
I always
each
accept
other.
That. You yeah, they mean? Complimented each other. Like two geniuses in the room with Cube and Dre there.
Yeah, but what Dr. Dre's done on his own post Cube is quite remarkable as well. I mean, just as a businessman perspective alone, I mean, well, like,
you sell a headphone company for not great headphones for $4 billion to a another company that's known for making good tech. I mean, that whole deal there blows me away. It feels like a whole drug deal hustle. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
because Beats headphones aren't that good. I never thought they were that good. And then when they bought them for $4 billion, what?
He was the first billionaire rapper, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jay-Z's worth $1 billion too.
Yeah.
And now Snoop Dogg's worth $1 billion.
Did you really think that the Snoop Dogg empire would last as long as it has in all the avenues he's gone?
Not just that. Like, you look on Google him. He has businesses everywhere. He's been investing with Elon Musk and Dogecoin and Bitcoin and stuff today. Like, I've been doing that shit. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you got to do what Snoop Dogg's
doing. He
literally
never stops.
No.
Like people want to talk about stoners not getting anything done. All that dude does is get shit done. Like, he's on six different television shows at any given time. He's he ran a youth football organization for years. Like,
he coached. Coached football.
He'll still make music every once in a while. Rarely these days, but he's streaming now.
Him and Martha Stewart have this fucking show that's hilarious together. He got a whole weed line in California.
He was hosted a game show.
Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. I don't know why people didn't watch it. I was dying when I saw that. He has a wine. Emily Lind, our friend of the show, messaged me his wine. She's like, it was really good. I'm like, I'm going to have to get some.
And I think it was high alcohol content too.
Like 19%. It gets you fucked up.
It'll get you drunk. You know what we should do, man, since we're completely off the rails, is we should try this thing out right here. Have you heard of this? Have you heard it? Who wants to be the Who, man?
I didn't get shit. Carry on.
Nailed
it. You go, Eric. I want to go last.
Okay. What I got was two Black Series figures that I had pre-ordered when they were announced, and they were allegedly going to ship in May was the update that I saw from Amazon. And then suddenly I get an update that, hey, update, they'll be there tomorrow. And I got the 6-inch Black Series Grief Karga and the 6-inch Black Series Queel.
Nice.
Well, here's the thing. I noticed something. This is very interesting when I got them out and was looking at them more closely.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I notice is that I don't give a damn about these things. That's what I noticed about them. I was looking at it real close and I'm like, oh, here's a detail I hadn't really noticed before.
Yeah. And that sucks because we were like demanding a Queel 6-inch Black Series forever. Like, you know?
I know that sounds terrible to say.
It is terrible to say because that figure is awesome.
Well, I mean, it is awesome. To me, it's not that. It's more, I don't know, man. It's like, where have I gone? The me that used to be me is no longer me. I'm looking at this, and I just don't get the same sense of satisfaction that I once did out of my lovely chunks of plastic action figures. And, you know, I'm not saying they're not cool. And maybe one of these days I'll get them out and play with them and be like, "Wee, okay, now I remember why." But yeah, I don't. Yeah.
It's just like every time Star Wars comes out, right? There's this huge just like surge of I need everything about this all the time right now. You know what I mean? Like when it first started coming back for me, it's like I want to ingest every bit of like Star Wars reading that I hadn't read
before. Yeah, you wanted to mainline it all. Me too.
Yeah, just direct line all the time. It's all I cared about. And then I started collecting, and I met you fuckers, and collecting went into overtime. Mm-hmm. And like overload in this room, like maximum overdrive. But you know, I think I managed to stop myself just short of what the fuck am I doing? So you know, my collection's still manageable. So I'm not overwhelmed by what I have. It's not all I mean, it's in most of my room, but it's not, I'm able to escape it even in my room. So that's where I'm at. Like, it's just, it's there, but it's not, doesn't have to be like directly in front of me. So,
well,
yeah. The thing is, I don't want to not like my stuff. Because I do like it. It just,
You're not as excited as you used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's a fair assessment.
Do you think, oh, I'm sorry, real quick. Do you think that's just because of COVID and the way things have gone in the last year? Or do you think it's that and maybe a combination of the fact that the last movie was such a mixed bag of reactions, including your own? And then on top of it, the fact that there's no new real movie projects in the works for a long time for you to like want to bring it all together? Or is it also like just you just realize one day I have too much? Like, is it a combination of all that or what?
I do think it's a combination of all that. It's,
I think also you're not playing gigs with that disposable income. So you've had to step back and go, oh, what am I doing with my life?
Well,
look at all this shit.
It is one of those things where I look and realize, okay, the amount of money this costs is a much bigger factor than it was, because it's seemingly like just drops in a bucket. oh man, yeah. it's just 20 yeah. bucks here or there. But then when you look around and realize you've got several hundred of them,
yeah,
and it's like, oh, yeah. And for me, you know, here we're like starting to look for a place. We want to move, and the thought of boxing all this crap up is not very appealing. And, you know, having all this stuff is neat, but it's not even a collection. It's a warehouse.
I almost wonder if, and I know this is not even a thought in your brain, but if you were to, whatever you move into your new place, if you were to like put those huge cardboard cutouts you have right next to you that take up a quarter of your room and put them somewhere else, I bet you would feel like you wouldn't feel as like, the walls are bearing down on me.
That's a possibility.
I mean, it's, I mean, I've been in, I mean, we've been in there with that thing, man. Like it's,
yeah, no, it's not a big room.
No, yeah,
those,
we haven't.
Those
no,
weren't we, in there when you guys were here.
No, no, and it was, no, and it's not a big room. So like just I mean, seeing
a,
the room,
it's a decent sized room.
It's yeah, bigger it's than not the average like, bedroom.
Oh yeah. It's definitely bigger than the average bedroom, but I mean, just seeing the state it's in now, it's significantly more full than when I was there 3 years ago or two.
Oh yeah, dude. That was. Like I had to get these shelves and yeah, it's the thing is I have a few pieces that I'm in love with. My sail barge rules, my giant Millennium Falcon rules, my 6-inch dewback rule and just those things. And so with all that, I like this stuff. It's just, it's a mess up here. And I think maybe that's part of what it is. It's just a mess. I'm not displaying the stuff. I mean, I've got that Hot Toys Luke on crate that I have not opened.
Yeah. How the fuck have you not opened that?
I just, because I'm looking around going, where am I going to put it?
True.
As soon as it's out of the box, it's going to have to stand someplace safe. And when you look around here, like if I accidentally knock over my Infus Nest 6-inch Black Series speeder bike, that doesn't upset me the same way knocking over a $260 Hot Toy would. But anyway, that's what I got.
Regret.
We went down that rabbit hole. Hey guys, guess what? I was supposed to get
a I'm sorry. I forgot one other thing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I got an email from Megalopolis about the refund they're supposed to give me.
No way.
I'm lying. Of course I didn't.
Considering I sent that picture of the four lease sign on their building.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
So anyway, a week or so ago, my friend Jesse messaged me and he goes, hey, they've got the deluxe Jar Jar at this Walmart. You want one? I go, snag me one. I'll get you the cash later. Snags me one. And Saturday, he comes into my dealership to hang out, you know, because I kind of had one of those days where it was like big spans between clients. So we're just hanging out and he's like, I got to bring you these two Black Series because I got to make it up to you. My son Luke, he just opened that Jar Jar and just tore the box apart, opened it everywhere. And I'm like, that's fine, bro. It's not like it was in my hands. I didn't feel like I owned it. You know, I hadn't even paid for it. But the dude was so nice. He brought me that Queel and Creep Karga.
Nice. I wish he would have hit me up. He could have bought mine.
Right. What I noticed about these new boxes, I don't know if you guys did. Did you see this on the side? The side window just is not attached. Like shoplifters are going to steal these things out of the boxes like crazy.
They've been stealing forever anyways.
True, but.
I'm not a fan of the box design overall.
No, me either.
I like from a design standpoint, I like them, but I don't like them that go along with the continuity of the rest of them. It's just like you already had a thing going. Like, why would you, like, you know, like it was bad enough when you would change the color. Like, now you're going to change the entire box design.
Yeah, this angle shit. Anyway.
I mean, just don't call them Black Series. Call them something else. Like I don't understand what, like, why are you making these boxes that way?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is a curious choice. And
it's odd, but the detail on the Queel looks great. I mean, I did want to say that the figure looks fantastic. So I was definitely happy to get it. Maybe I'm happier about it because I didn't pay for him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
free stuff is better stuff,
right?
They are well done figures.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have bought the Grief Karga, to be honest, but I'm happy to have it. It's a nice figure, but like just with my limited funds for collecting, I would have passed on it in the wild if I had seen it. Just being completely honest.
I have noticed with me, I would pass on almost anything I saw anymore, which is so not how I'm used to being. I would probably get the Jar Jar. I'd still like to have him. I just haven't seen one yet.
Oh, you want one? I mean, there's a Walmart here locally that has like 50 of them.
I mean, I can just get one from Amazon.
True.
You know, because by the time you got one and shipped it to me, I'd be in the hole.
It'd be the same. Yeah, it'd be more money.
But
we recorded not on our normal night last week. And if you guys remember on Monday, so we recorded on a week ago, Sunday, when normally we record on Mondays. If you recall, like on Monday, I sent you a picture of what another thing I got, which is the Lando Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, dude.
Dude, I was in AutoZone and it was right there on the peg at the checkout. And there was like lots. They had the Yoda, the R2, the 3PO. They had my boy Lando, and I'm like, man, for $6, I can handle $6 for that. What's funny is I didn't notice until like a couple of days later after I sent you guys the picture of it laughing about, hey, I didn't get anything this week, and we recorded on Monday, and I could have talked about this. Anyway, it has the 40th anniversary for Empire Strikes Back logo on it. And it's like the only one that has that out of the Hot Wheels. Yeah, see right here?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, oh. So it must be part of that, you know, that wave of stuff that came out for the 40th anniversary that they never really celebrated for Empire Strikes Back. I feel like Empire Strikes Back kind of got gypped on that.
What are you talking about? They had a whole figure line.
They did, but, you know, like when they did the 40th for A New Hope with Celebration, there was a little bit more with that. And same thing with, like, the Phantom Menace, but because we didn't get Celebration with Empire, it still kind of feels shorted a little bit.
I would say there was much less of a deal made about the 20th anniversary of the Phantom Menace than there was Empire Strikes Back.
To be fair, but they got a panel at a Celebration. That's all I was talking about, was just saying, like, you know, hey, we got this panel, we got the thing for the New Hope. We didn't really get that with Empire.
I would also say overall, it's more of a big deal when the first film in the franchise gets an anniversary than the rest of them.
Fair enough.
Is what starts it off, and that's how you get George Lucas back in the mix and everything else. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like the OG cast would definitely come back for like a New Hope anniversary. Empire, you probably get Mark Hamill.
You get Billy Dee.
You get Billy Dee, and you would have got Carrie if she was still alive. But I don't think Harrison's lame ass. Yeah, I don't think Harrison's shown up for all of them.
Anthony Daniels show up and talk over everybody and fuck the whole thing up.
I guess what I mean is you're only getting Harrison Ford to like the big ones for the first one and not for everything else. That's all you're ever getting him back for.
Pretty much that's what you said the long way. Yeah. You got the long way there. Yeah, Harrison Ford would only show up for A New Hope and nothing else.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, George Lucas, and he said, John Williams, who's had a birthday, what, yesterday?
Today? Yeah. Dude, and I thought he was like 90-something. I Googled it.
89.
Yeah, like him and somebody else are the same age. It's crazy.
Well, that's a very vague statement. Who is the...
Him and a lot of other people are the exact same age.
I can't remember now. I got to Google
it. Some people are older than him, and some people are younger than him,
Now I
got to
Google it, because I think he's younger than 89.
No, he's 89. His 89th birthday today.
Well, I'm hovering over my drop a marker here to edit this out later. And then I'm like, nope, leaving it in.
Leaving it in.
Leaving it in.
89 years old. Okay, never mind.
It turns out that dude is only 47. He has done some hard living.
Dude, he was an elementary score in A New Hope.
Yep.
He was smoking unfiltered Camels since he was 2. And he still looks amazing.
So while we're talking about stuff that we've gotten and may or may not get in the
future.
Oh,
by the way, I'm done. That's all I got.
I assumed by this
point. Yeah, we assumed.
So one of the things we talk about a lot on here, we were talking about it earlier, is video games. And, you know, there's been news about, you know, Ubisoft's going to be putting together a game and then some, like, rumors of other things. But I heard a podcast I really enjoy. It's called Blue Harvest. I don't know if you've heard of it, but Hawes was talking about, that's Hawes Burkhart of Blue Harvest, was talking about EA. And they had, like, their earnings meeting, earnings call. So, it said, this would have been the CEO, Andrew Wilson. He was asked if the company would be changing how it develops games after seemingly losing the exclusive license to create Star Wars games. I'm reading this on IGN.com, by the way. Quote, "I don't think you should imagine that the fact that some other people will build some Star Wars games is going to change our commitment to that IP or our ability to build the appropriate number of games," end quote. And he goes on to talk about the fact that, are you ready for this?
Okay.
EA Star Wars games have brought in over $3 billion in net bookings and 52 million sales since EA began making them, including before that exclusivity deal. Okay. Mobile games Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes has brought in $1 billion of that amount.
Holy shit. Dude,
mobile
just
gaming's huge.
Yeah, it's crazy how people will waste money on those mobile games. No offense to people who love them. They're a waste of money. Sorry. Candy Crush, just, your ass to hell.
I mean, you know, it's
how
like...
How dare you? My wife plays that. How dare you?
It keeps her off my back, man. That game's great.
She doesn't buy anything. She just plays it until she writes
Okay, if she plays for free, no, I'm talking about the people who pay for the, like...
Constant microtransactions.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And I, like, I get that. Like, my little girl, she loves Roblox. Roblox, Roblox. Roblox. Hey, Daddy, Roblox. I'm playing Adopt Me. Daddy, Roblox, Roblox, Roblox.
Did you see what I did in Roblox? Did you see the character I am Roblox? But yeah, she, I know about Roblox. God
she,
damn.
She wants to use money to buy in-game currency, right? Robux.
Yeah, Robux.
And I get it. Nice. I bought some gold bars for Red Dead Online when I first started it. But dude, no longer. And she, you know, because she doesn't understand the value of money. But like when you take a game like Galaxy of Heroes, and I've only briefly glanced at it, you're typically playing it on your phone. Your phone is not huge. And especially when you're old like me, it looks even smaller. But the fact that people get bored and they play on their phones everywhere they go. Taking a dump at work, get your phone out. Riding on the subway, get your phone out. Standing in line at the drive-thru, get your phone out. Sitting at a green light, not moving, you got your phone out.
Hate those fuckers.
But people will do that because they can't stand being bored for a split second. And that's why games like that can make $1 billion. But, dude, that is
I'm embarrassed for us as a society. That game one has made $1 billion. Have you played it? It's trash. I'm sorry.
I don't. It's
fucking trash. It's a poor Star Wars experience.
Yeah.
Like, I wish it was something else not associated with Star Wars. It's that bad of an experience. And I'm sorry if you like it. That's just the way I feel with what we've had from Fallen Order, Battlefront 2, all this other stuff, that we got this Bounty Hunter game coming out. I'd much rather play that than some dumbass mobile game. I'm shocked it made that much, honestly.
Well, think about this, man. There's a much better chance, like, overall today. Like maybe, like, even people who are in low income are able to get smartphones at least you know what I mean like
dude,
even
you can get an iPhone on like pay per minute still
but I'm just saying like overall there's a much better chance overall of a kid being able to get his hand on a myriad of smartphones that are just billions of them produced a year and thrown away or whatever else than to get a new Xbox or a new whatever. Fair. So like, and if that game's free, then they can play it. You know what I mean? So, and then maybe instead of buying them games, whatever, these people who don't have a lot of money, they're like, well, I'll buy you like this card that gives you like a Play Store card for like Android, right? And then you can use that money to buy stuff on there because you like this game so much. Like, you can see a bunch of smaller transactions like that happening, you know, instead of buying a brand new system, buying games for that system, paying for online memberships for that system. Like, all that shit adds up after a while. So I could see on that end how that could happen. Plus, like Eric said, people all over the place, they're playing mobile game. I have a friend that I play with on Twitch. You'll see, you'll see Game Night with Luke and Frank. He is so into games that he'll be playing a game, and in between like the 3 minute loading time from when we load up the game to whenever it drops us into what we're going to play in this battle royale, he busts out mobile games and starts playing them. I'm like, dude, can you just like chill for 2 seconds? Like, we're
really?
Yeah, like
that's hardcore.
Sound like me and TikTok. I got to watch a TikTok when there's nothing going on.
Yeah, like when to be honest, it was a mobile game that got me back into wanting to play like first person shooters. It was like there was a Call of Duty mobile game out. I'm like, oh, this is pretty fun. This is cool. And then I realized Warzone was free, and I was like, oh hell yeah! And I got into that. And I have bought things on there, but like, I don't know. For me, sometimes like I can see how that gets out of control, where you spend too many microtransactions, and the way they price these things make you almost make you buy a higher tier price of stuff to be able to get like lower tier stuff, but just above the lowest tier stuff you can buy. it's like a weird price.
It's on that same level of people who bid on stuff to buy. They buy bids on those penny sites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like a dollar buys you like six bids. And they think they're buying this thing for like $16. But it's in that vein of like it gets addicting for people. They take it too far.
At least you get you're looking at something like that costs that much money. I want to buy it because I like it. At least you know you're getting it for exactly that. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah.
But like in my whole justification for it is like, well, I mean, there's still tons of money going into this game to build it, to maintain it, to whatever thing else. Like, it's a huge freaking game. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't feel bad, spending a total of less than $100 on extra stuff that I bought for that game. When normally an average game costs now brand new games are going to cost 70, I think, for the next gen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they've been $60 since like 97, so I don't know why.
Swear to God, at least barely turn of the century.
I swear I remember seeing N64 games going for $60. I swear
they should have charged GoldenEye $60 because it was worth it.
But yeah, it's a whole weird system, but like it's. I don't know. I feel like the turnaround on games is so much different than it used to be when we were kids. Like, we would play one game to death until we had found every tiny microbe of detail in there. We got everything in there.
Sounds like Eric in Red Dead. Red Dead, honestly, is what I do. It's the first game in a long time that's been worthy of that kind of attention, considering how much distraction in gaming there is. That game has been incredible that way.
Breath of the Wild is also deserving of the kind of thing that Eric does. Like, it has that kind of exploration and things you can do and new enemies like specific enemies you have to fight to get a specific thing to be able to do something else. Like, it's and it's all part of the thing. It's not a puzzle micro transition. Yeah, like it's all like they had DLC that came out after this massive game came out, and it's still, I think most of it's free now, the DLC for the game. So like, I don't know.
That's a format though that I really dig is that, like, I did it with Fallen Order.
Yeah.
After they did the update, whenever that was, like last year, was it? Yeah, I did a replay of it. I 100%ed that thing. Yeah. And screen grabbed the notification. Yes, yes. And then there's a game called Sleeping Dogs, which I can't recommend enough. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
It's not a Star Wars game, but it's basically Grand Theft Auto. Except it takes place in Hong Kong.
You talked about it before.
I 100% of that. Like, every last thing to get that 100% mark. And I don't know. There's just something weirdly gratifying about that to me.
What? I mean, you're getting your full money's worth, goddammit.
You're a completionist.
You know what I didn't do that with? Squadrons.
Oh, God.
But I do own it.
Oh, dude, I love it.
You still not playing it at all, Eric?
I just, when I have time to play, what I want to do is get on a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel you.
Go shoot some stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been playing, and here comes the video game portion of the podcast.
I think we've been there for a minute now.
No, but I mean, like, where we're talking about actually the playing of them.
Yeah.
Is that, like, there's things you do, there's certain missions where, like, you have to clear out these roadblocks of the revenue agents. And if you do it, then when the next time you do it, it benefits your moonshine business. So the next time you do a moonshine run, if there is a roadblock of revenue agents, they'll just tell you to move along and go. Well, now I'm high enough leveled that they're brutal.
Oh, man.
Like, they're so hard to beat. And that just tells you how much I've been, like, sunk in playing this thing. We've got dudes who are, like, resisting a point-blank range headshot. They'll fall down and get back up. Like, I don't know if they're all on PCP or what. But
they
that's
just
what
carry
I do,
adrenaline
man.
Needles with them.
Yeah, I just like getting in the world, man. But
you play with Tracy Moon, right?
Yeah, Tracy Moon, yeah. And is Lucas Sellers.
Yeah, there you go. Is Tracy a higher level than you?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like three ahead of
yourself? Me. How do you live with yourself?
Well, you know, I know it's embarrassing. I mean, Tracy has been playing it for probably 10 months longer than me, but you know, dude,
what's more embarrassing, that you've almost caught him or that he's still ahead of you?
He is a much better shot than me. Like, I'm really good at, like, the strategy and remembering where everything's at. And
I don't know. I think you sell yourself short, because that little campground battle I walked in on the other day on your Skype, where it was, he's like, "No, it's crazy," and I commented, and you didn't say anything. I was like, "Oh, screw you too, Struthers." And it was like a battle where, like, you were shooting all these people, and, like, there was a whole bunch of them, and he died, and then you had done your hero thing and killed the rest of them.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I thought it was pretty cool.
I try to look at the chat, but I can only see it on my phone.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You know, but. Yeah, I do okay. I do okay. But, like, with especially playing with, like, Lucas, with those guys, man, like, the whole honor of my posse is in jeopardy, because I like to be the good guy.
Uh-huh.
But, it, yeah, not with them. Especially Lucas. God, that guy. But, he's like the other day.
Let's murder all these dogs. No, Lucas, yeah. No.
It's super late at night. I'm finally getting ready to just get off and go to bed. And I get a party request from some rando I don't know. And I look them up, and they live in the St. Louis area. Or at least I assume they do, because their avatar is wearing a St. Louis Blues shirt. So I jump in, and it's all these potheads. And they're
nice.
Like, who are all these people? I don't know, man. And so, like, we start talking, and they're like, "We're over here at this bank in Saint-Denis." It's like, "All right, I'll be there in a minute." And they're just laying waste to the police. I mean, just everywhere. And I'm like, okay. And I was the best one by far.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've just got piles of bodies around me, and my honor is creeping down to about 60% from the usual 100.
Were they listening to Fuck the Police by NWA?
They might as well have been. I will tell you this, that I got a pretty good laugh out of them when I referred to my dynamite as recreational dynamite. But anyhow, yeah, video games are rad. And I do wish, man, I hope that this open world game that they're talking about developing will be just that.
Yes.
It'll be immersive and big and something that you can spend a lot of time in. Because when you talk about what games cost to buy as the consumer, right? Not what they, I mean, they cost a lot to make too, but what they cost to buy, you've got people who've been playing Red Dead Online for thousands of hours.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of money's worth out of that thing. And that's the mark of a good game. And that's what I want for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want a game that I'm going to keep coming back to and keep coming back to.
I just don't know. Like, if you think about You think about games like Red Dead, you think about games like The Last of Us and stuff like that, that are these huge story-driven narrative games that, you know, or even the Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that, like the replayability of those are such because the developers had all the time in the world they needed to make it the best game ever. Mm-hmm. And with Star Wars, there isn't that patience. There just isn't.
Yeah.
You, as much as I want to believe that they're really going to come out with some super, like, awesome, like, really in-depth, like, all these things you can do Star Wars game, while there may be some element of that, I would be surprised if it goes much further than than Fallen Order, like, as far as explorability.
There's no way it could.
I'm just saying, I don't know if we're going to have time to develop the worlds that we're wanting and to have the detail that we're after. Like, if it's without being a whole bunch of repeated stuff and like all the worlds starting to kind of blur together and feel like they're the same. And I think there's a huge risk at that, especially because we are demanding them. We want it out now. And we just, like, I think if we would just be patient and give them a good 6-7 years to really make this banger game, we'd be playing it for years. And it's just...
You know, you make a good point, because here's the thing too, man. When you take a game like Red Dead,
It took 8 years to make Red Dead 2.
But that's part of like my point here is that it took that long, but it also takes place in a known historical time with known things, right? It takes place in the natural world.
References.
So they can spend 8 years making this game because the Old West is not continuing to progress underneath of them as it happens.
Yeah,
but where
yeah.
with Star Wars, they're not going to have some new thing 8 years down the road that they can give a video game manufacturer enough assets on day one for them to spend 8 years making it so mm-hmm. that it comes out like the High Republic. Mm-hmm. They couldn't give them enough stuff 4 years ago to have an awesome video game that took place in the High Republic ready to go mm-hmm. that spent 4 years in development.
No, all they can do is visit an era they've already have story in, because canon mm-hmm. means everything.
Yeah.
So I mean, like it like the High Republic, I think for them to have the kind of High Republic game we would look where they need that enough time to really be able to explore it. Like you would have like the whole High Republic era would probably be over. You know what I mean? Like they would already had movies or have already had all these comics and books, everything else. And maybe like in the middle of it, somewhere maybe towards the end, a game could come out that's like really gives you this wide open experience. I don't know, man. It just takes a lot to develop shit like that.
I could see it being based on The Mandalorian, that time frame, the planets we saw in the show. They could stick to those planets until the next DLC, you know what I mean, as the show progresses. I could see them doing that with this open world game.
If like, they were...
sorry to interrupt. Just not saying you have to play as Mando. I'm just saying... You're a bounty hunter in that space.
I think a Mandalorian game voiced by Pedro Pascal would be an amazing fucking game.
Right.
Like if it was open world, if it was, you know, kind of like Red Dead in a way.
Where or
like
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, or something like that. But like it where he has to go on missions and he has to like collect bounties and he's doing all these different things. And you know, like, it's
wouldn't
like,
that be
like,
great?
Like give us his sketchy years where he's flying around with like
people. Pre Grogu. Yeah. Like how'd he become so awesome? Let's play him and make him that awesome. Like where he's so reliable. Like Greef Karga he's his number one bounty hunter. Like that's the vibe he has at the start of season one.
I don't need to play as Grogu Dad Mando. I don't need to play as that. Like just giving me his badass like 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where he's
like when he was messing around with Tonks the Twi'lek.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking when he was with that crew.
Yeah.
But you know, again with Lucasfilm and because of what they want to do with canon being everything, which I respect. I like that everything that's taken place exists together in a universe.
Yeah.
Now that causes problems.
Yeah.
Because like that whole meme going around of Ahsoka staring at her phone, back on the set and said, yeah, this was Ahsoka during all of these things, you know, the Battle of Yavin and all this. Because, now you've created a spot where, well, where were they when all this happened? That becomes touchy, kind of like Cal Kestis. And, you know, when gone am I, the last of the Jedi you will be. It's because of all that they want to exercise some caution, which does sort of change up what they're allowed to do with somebody like the Mandalorian. Because when you look at the storyline of Battlefront 2, they did a good job with it. I enjoyed it. It could have been bigger. And a little more varied, but it was still very, very cool.
Versio was a cool character.
And they developed, the way they went about developing that, the character had a lot of life and felt like there's a lot of depth there and it felt real. And it was a compelling, heartfelt story that tying it all together with the book, the way they did and everything was really cool. But to be able to do that every time with, especially with a known person, like we've already seen the Mandalorian, we know where he ends up. Are we willing to let this story be told in video game form? Or do we need to get on this and make sure there's a comic out in front of it or something? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I feel like in this instance, they would look at it as this is another opportunity to cash in on the property, the popularity of this property.
I guess what I mean is to do it well.
They're
allowed to take a lot of chances and make it humongous.
Would they? Do you think they'd ever want to do a young Mando show or movie or cartoon or anything?
I don't. I think that's why I think this game idea is perfect.
I agree with you. I think that's the most ideal for me too, because you get to play his story and it'd be great.
Seriously, I think it would sell like crazy.
Of course it would. It would sell like crazy, but it wouldn't sell to everybody. So that's the, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know.
My mind's like blown that a mobile game made more than the other game. So I don't know what to think anymore, to be honest.
You know, Cruiser, you did really hit it on the head though when you said it's way more openly available to people.
Yeah.
And what, you know, when you're sitting there scrolling through Facebook and you see an ad for this thing and you dig Star Wars and it's $4 or whatever it costs, I don't even know. Maybe, I can't remember. Is it free to download, but then everything else costs money?
Yeah, that's what it is, I believe.
You know, and are there in-game ads running?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
I think so. I only played it for like a hot minute and I was like, this is dumb, never mind.
I wonder if you can buy a paid version where there's no ads. I don't know.
But so either way, you know, when you figure the ads become part of that revenue that they're listing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just so much easier to put it in people's hands. And if you can put something in a billion people's hands at a low price point versus a bigger price point that requires other commitments such as a console or a gaming computer or something like that, that really does make more sense of how a mobile game could make that much money. And then it also makes me think, it's why are we wasting our time podcasting? Let's make a good mobile game and let's make a mobile game
that does
about
that for
podcasting.
A living anyway.
I mean, just develop the next TikTok and you're good to go, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, dude.
I don't know. Dogecoin's going good for me right now. Might be
being
retiring.
A billionaire would be great. Right?
You better sell that shit quick, Dallas, because it's going to plummet hard pretty soon. You know it will.
Just watching it every day, every minute.
You got to watch those trend stocks.
Daily.
But anyways.
Every day.
Yeah. So anyways, the games, they're out there. Was there anything else? I mean, the only other thing that's out there at all is Claudia Gray's book came out last Tuesday, I think.
Yes.
And Dallas hasn't started it yet. Nope. Eric just barely started it. How many chapters are you in?
You know what? I'm not even sure. it's like so early on that I can say, so the main Padawan that you're looking at is just now on his way to where he's going to have to go.
I think we're in the same spot. So I like the first two or three chapters is what it is. Anyways, so Dallas and I, as you know, we do the audio versions. Eric reads in his own voice, and I gotta say, maybe it gets better after a while, but going from Mark Thompson reading Charles Soule's book to this guy, I forget his name already, reading Claudia Gray's book is startling how much worse it is. And I don't want to hate on the guy. Maybe it's just his style. Maybe his is how he does for, you know, it's a YA novel. Maybe it's a tactic to keep kids' attention. I have no idea. But I was telling these guys earlier that it reminds me of a mix between the guy who does the Clone Wars intros that are very robust, guy, and then Mr. DNA in Jurassic Park during the Jurassic Park promos. Like the level of
hype. Dino DNA!
like the level of hype he has for every minor thing that happens is way overpowered, and it is just not. Like I said, maybe it gets better later, but it's so distracting right now. I can't even listen to what he's saying. It's just like hurts my head. And
I'm sitting here going, I need to start this thing. Maybe Luke's crazy.
Yeah. Watch Dallas. Like, oh my God, I really like it. He was very engaging. I'm like, okay. I guess you do have a mind of a 13-year-old. but
I like how wacky he is.
Just like Jar Jar.
Yeah, exactly. But I can feel that the story itself is going to be good. I know that the buildup's already happening, and this Padawan in particular is pretty interesting because of the other Jedi we've met in the past and how he compares to them and how he doesn't really have the grand sense of adventure that the rest of them have and stuff like that. Like it's just, you know, he wants to be a bookworm, and things change that. And it's kind of interesting, and I'm curious to see how the story goes. But I know, Eric, I'm assuming you don't really have any first impressions, really, do you?
You're gonna have similar things to Light of the Jedi, where it's a lot of new characters.
Yeah,
but that's okay. Again, I would rather have a deep story where there's a lot going on, and have to contend with the fact that there's a lot of character names being thrown around. It's not going to suck me in. It's just more of a matter of time commitment to it.
Yeah.
Or if I just sat down and, you know, put my head down and went for it, I'd be in further than I am.
Yeah.
But I just haven't done that. So, it's going to be good. I love Claudia Gray's writing style. Like the way she... Yeah. I like her storytelling style, and without, like, there's not a lot of fluff with her, which I think is refreshing because that's an easy trap to fall into.
You know, Bloodline, that Leia novel she did years ago. That was brilliant how that was set up. So I'm excited to listen to this book.
Well, hopefully it's something that you dig.
Yeah, Eric, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, because you have the Kindle version, yeah?
Correct.
Does it have like a timeline at the beginning of that book? Did you notice?
Where it falls, you mean?
So when does this take place? I couldn't tell by the reading.
Hang on. Just talk, and I'll look it up real quick for us.
Because Dallas, whenever you start listening to it, like you feel like something has happened that has some kind of significance, like, but they don't really go into. Like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, like, at the very beginning.
Like, after the last novel?
Yeah.
Like, this happens. Like, I believe this happens after the last novel, like, several years later.
I think it does.
But it could be, like, 3 years later, or it could be 20 years later. At the very beginning, you can't really tell. Like,
I think it's decades later.
Okay, hold on. Let me see.
I mean, very well could be.
That doesn't feel right.
Decades later?
Yeah, that...
You think it's, like, years later, less than 10?
Okay, let's see.
I mean, you mentioned, Luke, you were talking about the main character talking about these other Jedi. Is he or she referencing Light of the Jedi, Jedi, like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That
what the
they're,
heck?
They're they go to the same. Their mission is to go basically to the same place of that.
The fruited that, moon.
No, it's the Citadel or whatever.
Starlight Beacon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Starlight. Starlight Beacon, yeah.
Starlight Beacon, yeah.
So the whole mission is to go back there, and then there's like Jedi who are with them who swore they never go back there, but they're going back, and like so like it makes you feel like, okay, this is after
the
major battle happened and everything else, and
so they're all PTSD about going to this place.
I guess yeah, I don't not all of them, but like the two, I guess older Jedi who are coming along are kind of like I don't want to go, but I need to go. I told myself I would one day.
So here's something. I'm looking at the Star Wars novel timeline in the front of... Oh, hang on. Never mind. I'm an idiot. So just don't worry about me as I carry on about how stupid this going, is.
Hey, and I...
Yeah, but my bad. What do you know? Doopity doo. My name's Eric, and I'm dumb. Here it is.
Well, stupid, I'm stupid.
I was looking at the one in Light of the Jedi. I'm like, it doesn't even list this book. The most recent one it has is Light of the Jedi. What's the deal?
What the fuck?
Come on.
What's the deal with these timelines? Who can follow it?
Okay. So, Star Wars timeline. Here we go. Zoom in.
Is that what you did when you expanded your eyes? You zoomed in with your robot eyes?
Yeah, I feel like you zoomed in with your face right there. I wish everybody could have seen that. Eric's eyes went, whoop.
I have to squint, just, man. I'm blind.
No, you didn't squint. Your eyes went large. Like you were like, vote, enhance. Enhance.
You both idiots.
Enhance.
So?
Okay. You know what? It doesn't say.
What?
Son of a...
Dang it, hang on.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's... So I'm looking in. It has Star Wars timeline in it. And, well, this is riveting podcasting. I'm sure people are like, wow, I'm on the edge of my seat.
There it is.
Okay, title page.
Let's look it up.
Star Wars timeline. It just... it just shows the High Republic as one thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's got to at least be after a little bit.
It's got to be after.
Well, okay, hold on. I think it is because they're headed out to Starlight Beacon, which was just opening.
Can we phone a friend and call King Tom real quick?
No shit, right?
You can call King Tom or you can call Sal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sal will get that
well,
shit.
Well, I definitely have King Tom's number. Don't have Sal's.
Here, I'll text Sal. You text King Tom. So oh, anyway.
This is even better podcasting. Yeah,
here's the deal.
This reminds me of our Patreon show, MJ's Hit List, where I'll say something and Luke is like, that doesn't sound right. He'll look it up and you're like, by God, he's right. And I'll be like, surprised I got it right.
What's the name of the new one, Luke?
Into the Dark.
Into the Dark.
And something like
just
that.
Like that terrible Spider-Man Broadway show.
Into the Dark, yeah.
I like wanted to see that show when I first heard about that Spider-Man Broadway show because I was like, motherfucker's going to fall off the wires and like injure himself and it'll be the one I see and that'll be awesome. And then they never like made a go of it because it was so bad.
I don't know. I'm hoping. I'm sure Tom is awake right now, probably going through some extra rare Weezer tracks. So surely he's he'll get this text message.
You know he's got a full back tattoo of Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah, he's keeping from us.
And he writes on the Weezer message boards, "Hey guys, I've been thinking."
Hey there, Weezos. I've been thinking.
Weezos.
So anyhow, well, while we wait for an answer, man, I think it's going to be great. Again, I love Claudia Gray. I still contend that Lost Stars is the epitome of how to write a Star Wars novel.
Okay.
So.
I like Bloodline better, but I do like that novel.
Dude, Lost Stars has some steamy hot doing it.
Imperial doing it. Rebel yep. Imperial doing it.
Okay. So according to Tom.
King Tom to you.
Yeah. My fellow Weezo.
According to Tom. I said, how many years later does Into the Dark take after Soul's book? He goes, none. Takes place during the emergences and the dedication of the Starlight Beacon. So, like, same time.
Huh.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There weird. You go. If we had read into it further, we would know that. But, oh, well, now we know. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. There you have it. But, so we're going to talk about that book. We'll break it down in a similar fashion that we did to Light of the Jedi, which we'll have you go listen to Blue Harvest first to actually find out how the book is, and then we'll talk about it.
And then we'll ruin it for you.
Yeah.
We will ruin it.
And we'll text King Tom looking for answers. And
yeah, during like the show. Maybe we should have him on.
This one already.
Let's do it. It's like more fun to text while podcasting. That's true.
I would like to get Sal on in here too, man. Yeah. So we can come over and we can do some karate in the garage.
Yeah. But we become best friends.
You want to do karate in the garage?
So
why are you all sweaty?
Pass that.
I've only shown this to three other people. Samurai Sword, signed by Randy Jackson.
God, that's so good.
Right, it's so random. And
why did you have like, Randy? Why did you have Randy Jackson sign a ninja weapon?
Yeah.
Well, it's all I had on me at the time. And if you see Randy Jackson, you're not going to not get his autograph.
And you're like, why the fuck does he have a samurai sword in the mall?
Maybe that's where he got it.
Yeah,
true. In my local mall, we had one of those like weapon makers, like mall stores, you know, where there's like these elaborate battle axes and broadswords and shit. Oh yeah,
that's what every mall needs.
Yeah, we had a place called Nirvana where you could buy knockoff ninja weapons and bongs and earplug, like ear gauges. And
one stop shopping, and right?
About every single fucking incense you could ever want in your life. A ton of dead bears, grateful dead bears, and a whole bunch of those like tapestries people have, like bands and whatever else all over the place.
Stop! It's a pothead shop.
Oh, dude, it was a pothead galore. Like, but the amount of ninja weapons there was alarming.
Remember that episode of South Park where they buy the ninja weapons at the like garage sale?
They got them at the carnival.
Yeah, the carnival. And then it goes like full on anime. And it's
brilliant. Was great. I love that.
Butters ends up with the throwing star in his eye.
Yeah. They take him to the vet and put dog hair on him.
Dude, that's like brutal. A dog.
They took him to the vet. It was so crazy. Is he like going, woof, 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 woof,
woof. Oh. Dude, I don't want to talk about it. It makes me too sad.
What is Butters here? Bad villain's name. What's his name? Supervillain.
Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos. Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah.
And his trusty sidekick, General Disarray.
Yeah, General Disarray.
Watch out, ninjas.
That's so good.
Watch out, ninjas. So good.
The episode of it's the episode is called Raisins, and
oh my god,
Wendy breaks up with Stan. Good. And they take him to Raisins, which is the
little girl's Hooters.
The Hooters, yeah. And the girls flirt with him, and they think, and Butters falls in love with this girl.
Oh, and they all have car names: Lexus, Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyhow, they find out, you know, that the girls are just flirting with him to get tips, and Stan he joins the goth kids. Life.
Yeah.
Is pain.
Oh yeah.
Life is nothing but pain. And then Butters is
flipping his hair the whole time.
Yeah. Butters is crying on the sidewalk in the street. And he says, he walks up and Stan walks up and Butters is the song that's playing is I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. And he's crying on the corner and Stan says something to him and he tells him that he'd rather be a crying pussy than a faggy goth kid.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, dude.
That show's too much.
The chances that show has taken over the years is pretty astounding.
Oh, dude, I mean, make fun of everybody. It's like once you've made fun of everybody, it's like carte blanche. You can just do whatever.
Well, and that's kind of how you have to be. All things are fair game in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Those scenarios.
I don't know. I don't know if that's. I mean, is that still like? I'm really surprised South Park hasn't been canceled, given all the stuff that they do. Like
cancel culture.
Yeah, I mean, this. I'm not like here to like be whatever about that. But I'm saying like. It's just true. Like anything that kind of triggers those responses these days immediately gets like cast aside. I'm surprised that South Park is
I think because they've been on the air so long and they have this precedent that they just make fun of everything and everybody and nobody's off limits.
Yeah.
Like they are one of the few shows like Simpsons that can just get away with that.
Well, they had an episode, the pandemic special.
Yeah.
That I watched. Now, I didn't really watch all of it. I was busy doing something else. But it was a lot of the stuff you would expect, you know, a lot of the jokes. But they made fun of the people who are like anti-mask nuts. And they made fun of people who are like too scared to leave their house.
Yeah.
In a nuclear like.
Yeah.
Fallout suit as they go to the grocery store. I've seen those folks.
So they made fun of
gloves on their gloves.
So they're equal opportunity. They're what like news stations are supposed to be, given equal time to both sides of an issue kind of thing.
Yeah. Remember when they used to be that way?
Oh, dude, you honestly, like, it's to the point where you can't say that there should be some kind of compromise. It's like you're going down a path if you're not completely on one way or the other now. Like, it's scary. I can't handle it. It's just like, I'm like, well, I'm just gonna distance myself further from all of you, I guess. Like, that's how
telling you, PBS NewsHour is the place.
Well, yeah, that is hard when you put it like that, Luke, that you, if you make a choice to try to find a common ground, then you're the enemy. You're just as much of the enemy as the person that is completely on the opposite side. But for me personally, man, I think that it's obvious people are never going to agree, and you have to find something to a common goal that people need to focus on, and that's like the betterment of all humanity.
Yeah, people before party.
Well, I think a lot of people are saying it now. I'm not trying to get into this, but a lot of people are saying, or is, if you believe in coming together or compromising or something like that right now, then basically you are saying you're okay with these white supremacists. Like that's how people are doing. Like, if you're not willing to come together, if you're willing to come together, then you're willing to come together with those people. And that's not what that means at all. Like,
no.
The majority of the people in this country are not those fuckers that stormed the Capitol. You know, like, and I know it's all that encompass our whole world, but like, that doesn't mean that it represents even a fraction of our population. So, I mean, you know, like, and really quick, your buddy posted that Super Bowl video from Bruce Springsteen. Where it's called like The Center, is what it's called. It's like the theme of the video. He's talking about how we need to come back together, and like it's like a Jeep commercial, and like all this stuff, and how we got to basically talk about compromise essentially. Mm-hmm. And all the comments are from like far left wing people who are just like, I can't believe you would say this. You're basically just like siding. We can't. There is no compromise when we're fighting against fascists and stuff like that. And like, I'm like, I think you think the scope is larger, much larger than it actually is. So, I mean, it's just there's a whole bunch of us who are kind of in the middle of the whole thing going, I think both of you are kind of nuts. And I think, you know what I mean?
I think neither of you understand nuance is how I look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Extremes in anything is too much.
Well, and here's something I'm going to say, and this doesn't just apply politically. I can try to coexist with somebody that I have to coexist with.
Yeah.
And find some sort of common ground. It's not necessarily compromising my ideals and my beliefs. It's finding a common ground.
Yeah.
Whether it's we both just want what's best for our families and all this stuff, because you're never going to have the opportunity to influence somebody if you instantly brick wall them. Mm-hmm. You're just not. And that's one of my things with like Christianity. I'm a Christian and I don't spend a ton of time talking about it, but I'll tell you this, man. And I won't get into a big religious discussion, but you know, I've had a lot of friends who, like guys I've played with in bands and stuff like that, who are like me, they're, you know, atheist or borderline agnostic, that sort of thing.
Dude, you do a podcast with two of them. Right.
But I don't hammer.
Well, I'm a secular humanist.
But I don't hammer people over the head with my beliefs. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Because I don't hammer people over the head with my beliefs, the people like that I've talked about who are on the other side of the fence, I can tell you who the first person they call is when something's going wrong in their life. And it's because
you're much more approachable.
And it's because, Eric, I don't beat them over the head.
Yes.
And it's because I understand why they don't think the way I do. I get it. And I think that's an important thing to look at. Now, you know, obviously you got to be against hate, but I'm going to tell you right now, most conservatives, quote unquote conservatives, most people who voted for Donald Trump,
careful,
they don't not care. What I'm saying is they don't not care about people and humanity. Yeah. They're having trouble looking past the part of all this that benefits them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a tough line.
And they have a hard time consuming truth the same way other people consume facts or truth.
I think that's easy to do. And I'm not defending these people, but I'm saying that I'm defending the idea of the power that like groupthink has on people. Yeah. Like you get into this mindset that my side is right and there's nothing else that you can say to swayed me of that. And so you'll defend this person that you picked to represent you no matter what. Like there was like, I mean, there's it's happened a lot with all kinds of different presidents over the years. Like it's this guy was just so polarizing that it stands out so much more. And it's what it does is it emboldens his hardcore followers even more to the point where they feel like they actually have power, and then it got shown very quick that they had none. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's one of those things. But anyway, I don't want to keep going into this, but I'm going to start
talking about concrete thinking and abstract thinking, and they're going to be bored.
there's nothing wrong with compromise, and the reason is you can say we can't side with fascists, and I'm not side with fascists, but I'm also not going to seek out and kill these people. They're still going to be here. You know what I mean? Like, so
neighbors.
Like there has to be some form of compromise on some level at some point. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I can't compromise with a white supremacist, but I can compromise with somebody who's a staunch Republican who has these views. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, I'm not going to compromise with a white supremacist who's shouting down that all black people should be dead or whatever else. I would never.
Racist, white supremacist, any of those. Outside of that, their neighbors, their family... You know what I mean? Like the divisions that have been sown over the last few years is just, it just got to end.
Well, here's something, man. And this is just, this applies to the recent political climate, but I'm telling this as an anecdote, like a personal anecdote, right?
Yeah.
If you don't make it clear, if somebody thinks that you stand, that you're on their side on something because you failed to speak against, like directly say that's not the case, that's shame on you, man. And that's your job to make it very clear. Listen, I do not support this.
Yeah.
I worked with a guy who we had just started this like regional manager, like mid-level management thing, and they hadn't really even announced it, but they had a new group of hires, and this guy was going to be one of my guys. And so he calls me, and we're getting to know each other, right? And I was asking him, so what made you decide to relocate from Atlanta to Mississippi? And he said something that where he drops the N-bomb in there. Oh. And I was so stunned that I didn't know what to say. We're on the phone, and like, I bet my face was like, and because I didn't shut him down right then, that instant, he's like, oh, he's one of my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally had to tell him, listen, I mean, but it took a while.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I'm not one of your people.
Yeah.
This is not, no, I do
I'm
not,
not
I do,
your people.
I now, do here's not something interesting too, though. Here's a guy who thinks this way. But when I would see him around, like our customers, it didn't matter what he outwardly, and I honestly think that dude was only racist because he thought he was supposed to be. Because in practice, he was not. You know what I mean? It's so weird. Anyway, whatever. I don't want to talk about that. What a crazy paradox that was.
We've gone on a classic bad motivator rant about the real world when we didn't mean to. And I'm sure people will be upset with some of our opinions. And just so you know, I still love you. So don't.
I'm for people.
I love
man.
You unless you're a white supremacist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to make it clear. I did not mean that we should compromise with white supremacists. No. But I am saying I'm not going to be the one that's seeking out and getting rid of the quote unquote problem. It's not going to be. It's not to me. That's not how it works. To me, it works from generations from it breeding out. I don't know how else you can do it. You know what I mean?
When you pursue division, when division's your goal, just sets it up for things to be worse. They'll become worse. They will not become better by active decisiveness.
Divisive. I would prefer not to give them any
divisiveness any platform. Is what I meant.
Well, and I want to remind everybody that the most adamant believers in an extreme on either scale of conservatism or liberalism are the absolute most uneducated people you could run into. And what I mean by that is won't pick up anything to read to betterment their knowledge of the world around them. Not that they're stupid or haven't been to school or whatever. I that's what I mean. They don't go out of their way to inform themselves about what's going on.
It's brainwashed radicalism.
Exactly. Cling to the thing that they believe feels the most right. When the truth is, it's somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
But anyway. Well, since there's nobody left listening to the show right now, I suspect that what we can probably do is just call it a day, man.
I think it's a good idea.
And guys, you know, it's solid episode. Solid fun. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about games and just how that all goes down. And we're going to knock out that Claudia Gray novel. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks probably. And neat. Hopefully I won't get any more Black Series figures I don't want in the mail. And So here's the deal, man. We talked about this up front, but I'm just going to blast it out there right now. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble. The links are right in the description of this show. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators if that's something you're keen to. And follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. Follow me on Twitter @EricStrothers and Luke.
@LukeCruiser.
And Dallas.
@TarkinTangents.
Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.